from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
And away we go. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, the three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year is right here and live on the Fan Upstate. Play like a champion today. No off days, except when we take off here on the show. Good to have you guys. Thanks for being here. If you want to be a part of the show, multiple ways for you to do it. The Renewal by Anderson at the Carolinas fan phone is here for you. 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. Text us 71307. 71307. Start your text with FAN. F-A-N. FAN. F-A-N. We will read them on the air. What is Clemson fans? I have asked you to do it. I have marked down many of you who have contributed. I will do again. What is your realistic expectation for your team this year? What is your realistic expectation? What is the expectation that you will say success or failure rides on this year? Is it an ACC title game? Is it double-digit wins? Is it the postseason, however you get in? Is it the postseason, but be one of the bye teams? What's the realistic expectation? We spent a few minutes in the last hour going up and down this Clemson schedule and breaking down where the dubs and L's come from. After having done so, as I mentioned, I think 10-2 is the expectation for the regular season record. I think 10-2 is what you should be, I don't want to say demanding, but I think 10-2 is what you should label as success. Joey B chimed in and said 10-2 regular season, they'll lose to Georgia and someone else, win the ACC championship, squeak into the playoff, and get knocked out in the first round. Well, the good news is if you win the ACC championship game, technically, and I know this is going to make Joe B roll his eyes, as it should, but technically, you won't get knocked out in the first round if you win the ACC. Technically, you will have bye into the second round. And I think catching the bye into the second round is again, a more than fair expectation for this team this year.
All right, that would signify, even with the two losses, if you're able to do that and win the ACC and get that bye in the playoffs, that they're back, that it was a couple down years, but they're back.
I would be good with that. I'd be good with that. Again, hinges on Cade Klubnik's development. We've said that a billion times. We're the nice thing being 17 days and 3 hours and 56 minutes.
That's pretty bad. You had to use your fingers for three.
Big difference between 4 minutes and the top of the hour. 17 days, 5 hours, 55 minutes, and 40 seconds until we kick off college football. Being 17 days out, we've kind of hit the point where we're done talking now, right? Like, I know we got 2 weeks left to go. But we've kind of hit the point where I think we've covered it all. We've talked the variables into the ground. We have talked the variables into the ground. We have talked the circumstances into the ground. All we have left is to get there and kick off the damn football games. That's it. We have reached the point where the talking is done. Let's play football. Amazon guy texts the show. Amazon guy says, we have to make the 12-team playoffs. Absolutely. I think that's fair. And I think you can do it winning the ACC title game. I think you can do it participating in the ACC title game. I do not think the third place ACC team is going.
Oh, you definitely, I win for sure. I don't know that second place goes because it's going to depend on how strong second place is and the Big Ten. I don't know. There are a lot of slots, but still.
Right now
where they're ranked is going to hurt them.
Both participants in the Big Ten and SEC and ACC title games are going. The Big 12 I'm not as confident in, though I think it is a very realistic possibility. But I think the top two teams in the three conferences that we cover primarily, Big Ten, SEC, and ACC, I do think both go. I think you could have eight teams between the SEC and the Big Ten, which leaves you, theoretically, if both teams from the ACC title game go, theoretically, two more spots. One of those probably comes from the group of five / independents. Notre Dame is in play here. There could be legitimately, and I think it might be a stretch, there could be one spot remaining for everybody else. Could that go to the Big 12 runner-up? To the Big 12 third-place team? Probably not, but maybe?
Yeah, but then it's going to come down to looking at competition. And if your conference is weak, it's really going to hurt you. Is the ACC back to a degree where you think it's competitive with the other guys enough to where your third-place team is stronger than their third-place team? And I just don't know about that.
We'll talk more about that as the show progresses, but it is after 7 o'clock in the morning. You got about 53 minutes until you got to get to the office, get clocked in, get locked in, respond to all of the whatever from the boss, you know, work or whatever. And then you're going to talk sports. And if you're going to talk sports around the office, you need this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this AM, an abbreviated version, so let's dive right in with item number one. It is not just that the Atlanta Braves lost last night, their third L in a row. It is not just that the Atlanta Braves have started another losing streak. It is not just that the Atlanta Braves are now 8 games over 500. It's how all of those things happen. A 10-0 defeat, a 10-0 shutout last night at the hands of the Milwaukee Brewers. A 10-0 shutout in which Bryce Elder gave up 7 earned runs in just 3.2 innings of work. That's his 5th loss on the year. A 10-0 L where the Braves surrendered 16 hits. All of this at home, by the way, to the Milwaukee Brewers. A 10-0 loss where the Braves offense racked up a total of 6 hits altogether. Now, all that's bad. But if it was one loss, you'd go, hey, Major League Baseball's wild. Things like this happen. What are you going to do? What's interesting about it is that it is the Braves' third loss in a row, including a pair to the Miami Marlins. After picking up the first two, they gave 2 back. They have now given the first to the Milwaukee Brewers. 10-0, your final. What's wild is that the Atlanta Braves have now been shut out in 24 consecutive innings. It has been 24 innings since the Atlanta Braves last scored a run. They did so in the 4-3 loss to the Marlins on Sunday. They scored in inning number two, and they have not touched home plate since that time. It's real bad in Atlanta now. Now, is it time to push the panic button? Shockingly, no. Because despite the fact that the Braves are on a three-game losing streak, that includes a pair to the, again, Miami Marlins, a team that is 42-72 and in dead last in this division by 25.5 games. The shocking thing is Atlanta is now only 6.5 games back of the Phillies. Because the Phillies have struggled a little bit since the break. The Phillies struggled a little bit going into the break. But after the All-Star break, the Phillies gave 2 of 3 to the Guardians. The Phillies got swept in a three-gamer by the Yankees. The Phillies dropped 2 out of 3 against Seattle. Now, they lost their first one to the Dodgers on the road 5-3. They did pick up a win last night 6-2. But the Phillies have given a lot back to Atlanta. I don't know that it matters. Because if this team can go 24 innings without scoring a single run and make no changes at all, change nothing to fix it, I don't know that anything matters, to be honest with you. It is bad right now. Yet, the Braves' deficit in the NL East has still somehow shrunk to 6.5 games. So I'm not going to say they're cooked. I'm not going to say they're done. I'm going to say it's everything in my power not to hit the button right now. Everything in my power not to hit the panic alarm on Atlanta right now. We'll see what happens. But 24 consecutive innings without a run after a 10-0 shutout at the hand of the Brewers last night. Item number two. 122-87, your final yesterday. The Americans rout Brazil en route to the Olympic men's basketball semifinals, where they will take on, for the second time in these games, Nikola Jokic and Serbia. It was everything you wanted from the Americans last night, despite some injuries. LeBron James had to get 4 stitches. Joel Embiid has been dealing with a weak ankle. The two of them, along with the rest of the U.S. men's national team, were able to get it done last night. 18 points from Devin Booker on 6 of 9 from the floor led Team USA. Anthony Edwards on 6 of 10 racked up 17 to go with 5 boards and a couple of assists as well. He got 13 out of Anthony Davis, 14 out of Joel Embiid, a dozen from LeBron James on 5 of 6 from the floor, and a pair from the stripe as well. Every American player scored last night, including Drew Holiday, who did get the start in a guard-heavy lineup for the Americans yesterday. Booker, Holiday, and Curry all got the start yesterday. The three guards went 18 for Booker, 9 for Holiday, 7 for Steph Curry. Steph taking less of a shooting role last night, just 3 shots from the floor. He did go 2 of 3, only 1 3-point attempt. He did not convert that.
He did say earlier in the day that he was going to, that he had no problem doing the setup role and taking a step back, that he does that in Golden State sometimes.
I'm good with that, except for, again, the stat line, even if you were coming in to play the point role, 17 minutes for Steph Curry, you didn't really even do that. 2 of 3 from the floor, 0 of 1 from deep. He did get 3 free throws. He knocked them all down. But he had 1 rebound, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks.
So I've turned you. I've turned you against Steph.
You haven't turned me against Steph, but again,
Steph turned you against Steph.
No. Unlike other people, The my feelings toward a player are irrelevant when I'm talking about their context within a team. And within the context of the team, Steph Curry has not been an asset to Team USA basketball in these Olympics. Do I still like the guy? Yeah, I'm a stan. But he has not contributed in these Olympics so far, slowed up yesterday as well. I'd rather put Anthony Edwards in the starting lineup and let him go get the 17.
Oh, for sure. Let the young guy get out there because Steph has lost it. I will say that you say you have no emotion, but if you listen back to yourself later on, you'll see, you know, the ups and downs of how upset and disappointed you are in your guy.
being upset about my guy is not the same as being able to look at the context of performance in a game and say he's a liability, not an asset.
Which I've been saying the entire time. And
but you only say it because you dislike him.
Dude.
Steph Curry could go score 24 and you'd be like,
no, well,
move it for Anthony.
No, I would say it's about time. That's what I would say. It's about time. I don't know what he was waiting on, but it would be about time. But do you think, looking at what he's played so far in the Olympics with the warm-ups and the actual games, that he's going to do that? Is he capable? He used to be. I don't know why he's not doing it now.
Because unlike the Golden State Warriors, you don't have to force it. If he's not shooting the ball well, then there are other guys who you can slide into that spot, like Anthony Edwards. And I think that's even in this game, I think that's what Steve Kerr is going for here. And I mean, Steve Kerr's not going to not play Steph Curry, as silly as I think it is. I think Steph Curry needs to move into a reserve role. I think he moves into a bench role. I think at this point, I'd rather put Anthony Edwards out there. I'd rather let him replace Steph Curry. I'd rather let him play a scoring guard position, move Drew Holiday to the point, move Devin Booker to the shooting guard, move Anthony Edwards to like a power guard position, and then roll LeBron and Joel Embiid out there and we'll go. That being said, Steve Kerr's changing his lineup every single game, going matchup by matchup, and I'm good with a guard-heavy matchup against a taller Brazilian team. I'll be interested to see what he decides to do against Serbia in the semifinals. Let's go very quickly to item number three. Don't want to spend a ton of time on this one because it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it is a story that was going around baseball for some time. The Chicago White Sox losing streak is over. 21 games. They tie the longest L streak in American League history alongside the 1988 Baltimore Orioles. It ends at 21 games with a 5-1 win over the Athletics yesterday. Andrew Benintendi hit a 2-run homer, which gave the White Sox the lead. It is the second longest losing streak in modern MLB history behind the 1961 Philadelphia Phillies, who lost 23 straight. They will only get that if they start up another streak, but the White Sox L streak has come to its conclusion officially with a 5-1 win yesterday over the A's. Let's run to a break when we come back here in just a minute from right now. Fox Sports has put out their best bets for this year's NFL season, their best futures bets for clubs starting the NFL in 29 days until we kick off the NFL. So let's take a look at some of the best futures bets and see if there's any that we agree or disagree with and see what they tell us about the season at large. That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Fox Sports has put out their best bets for the 2024 National Football League season. Let's run over some of them, see if there's anything that jumps off the page at us. Let's start over in the NFC. Great one. The first bet that Fox Sports says they like the most, they are going with the LA Rams over 8.5 wins this season. The Rams, of course, playing out in the NFC West. They've got a very interesting schedule ahead of them. I like this bet a lot, and I like this bet for one reason and one reason alone. Sean McVay had a down year with 5 wins last year.
I think they were plagued by injuries, though, if I recall.
Absolutely, they were. Outside of last year, Sean McVay has had seasons with 12 wins, 10 wins, 9 wins, 13 wins, and 11 wins. I'm willing to say that last year was a down year, like you said, plagued by injuries. It was a struggle of a year last year. Looking at him this year, having found Cooper Kupp's health, I hope. Puka Nacua is out, it looks like, for the regular season, but the Rams have said they expect that he will be back for the regular season, which I hope he is. I enjoy watching Puka Nacua play. Matt Stafford, of course, getting more comfortable in his next year at the helm. And on top of that, Sean McVay's a dude that I don't expect stays down very long. Lonzo, I am comfortable saying the Rams over 8.5 wins feels pretty good as a bet to me. We can look up and down the schedule. And there's a lot of teams. I think they can beat Arizona twice. I have no issue with that. I think they can beat the Raiders. I think they can beat the Seahawks. I don't expect the Seahawks to have a repeat year from last year. I think they can beat the Seahawks twice. I think they'll be all over 8.5, but I like the over for the Rams.
Yeah, me too. I mean, they got to deal with San Francisco, but other than that, they should finish second at least in their division.
Looking at Fox Sports' best bets for the NFL, they say their second best bet, the Minnesota Vikings over 6.5 wins this year across the regular season. I've looked up and down the schedule here. They've got some that are interesting. They open on the road at New York. They've got the Jets back at the house. They do take on the Texans in week 2. I'm very curious about that team. They are at Jacksonville on November 10th and then follow it up with a trip to Tennessee. I think those are winnable. The question mark for me is going to be the Minnesota defense at this point. The question, obviously, about their quarterback position is there as well. I am going with the under for Minnesota. And it's got nothing to do with Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones, a good offensive line. It's that I don't think JJ McCarthy's going to be very good. And if it's not him, your other option is, with all due respect, because I like the guy, I don't trust Sam Darnold to get you there either. I think they are held back with a defense that lost some talent, with an offense that has had some drama off the field this offseason, and by a pair of quarterbacks, neither of which I trust to be full-time consistent starters, it's a low win total, but I'll go Minnesota to win six and take the under.
Yeah, you let Kirk Cousins go, and one thing he was very consistent, and he won you some games. And I do not trust a quarterback. I just don't. So,
next bet they like, New York Giants under 6.5 wins this year. And I'm actually going to tail that bet as well. The Giants, of course, are sans Saquon Barkley, who is now a Philadelphia Eagle. Danny Dimes is, I think, playing for his life. But my question is, with who? What on that offense do you genuinely trust? Malik Nabers is going to be a dude, all right? There's a lot of years that Malik Nabers would have been the top wide receiver draft pick. He just happened to come in a year where there were two really good ones up top. But outside, who's your guy? Daniel Bellinger, the tight end? Do we think Darius Slayton is going to be a difference maker? Like, the Giants aren't going to be good this year. And I want to apologize in case he's listening to my dog, Chris Lewis, big fan. But I think it's going to be a rough year for this team this year. There are some wins out there. But, like, do the Washington Commanders with Jaden Daniels feel like a guaranteed win for you this year? Are you taking either one against the regular season Dallas Cowboys? Do you think Saquon Barkley, the Philadelphia Eagle, is going to do anything but run for $175 and a couple of tutties against you? I don't. The best news for the Giants is that they play the NFC South this year. That's the best news you got. I'll go New York under 6.5 wins.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the other thing is, how often do teams do well after being on Hard Knocks?
Which is interesting because obviously their offseason, the Bears Hard Knocks started yesterday. And I have not watched all of episode one because your boy was not feeling good yesterday and slept many, many hours throughout the day. But Nick Saban had some appearances in that. I got one of them particularly that I pulled because I found it interesting. Nick was talking about something that I talked about on the show yesterday, and I want to get to that because it was a very fortuitous clip from the greatest college football coach of all time. We'll come back to that in a minute. But that's a fair talk. Hard Knocks shows up not because they think you're going to be good, but because there's drama around your team. And the Giants have a lot of drama. Drama can be good. Drama can be bad. I'm laying on the bad here. I'm going to go New York gets to 6 wins this year. Next one they really like, Seattle over 7.5 wins for the Seahawks this year. This is actually one of the tougher ones to pick out of all of the Fox Sports bets that we are breaking down here. I look at the fact that Seattle's got the Broncos and the Patriots out of the gate. That should be 2 wins out of the gate. Should be 2 wins. The Broncos are going to be bad. The Patriots are going to be bad. That should be 2 wins out of the gate for the Seattle Seahawks. But the question is, what after that? They've got Miami. Unfortunately for them, it's earlier enough in the year in Seattle that the weather's not going to be frostbite cold, which has been the one kryptonite for the Dolphins so far. Then they're at Detroit. They got the Giants come to town. They should win that. Then the 49ers, the Falcons, which I honestly think is a toss-up game. Buffalo, I think even being down, I think Buffalo wins. The Rams, the Niners, the Cardinals. Like, I think Seattle's another team that is up and down. But here is the part that I'm curious about. 2 years ago, Geno Smith under Dave Canales had a spectacular year. Dave Canales left. What happened last year? Every number got worse for Geno Smith. His completion percentage went down 5%. His touchdowns came down by 10. His interceptions went up. His yards per attempt went down. His yards per completion went down. Now, granted, they got DK Metcalf. They got Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's a dude out of allegedly wide receiver U. They got some dudes.
Dispute it all you want.
My question mark is, do you trust Geno Smith to revert to 2022 form? And my answer is, respectfully, no, I don't.
Yeah, me neither. I think they're on their way down, especially with where they're playing and who they're playing. It's just didn't trust Geno Smith in the first place. He did look pretty good under Canales, but Canales being gone, eh.
I mean, Canales turned around. That might be chalked up as an anomaly, except for then he went and did it with Baker the very next year. So this is why Dave Canales is in Carolina, because it is not an anomaly. It is back-to-back consistent performance. I think Geno reverts. I think the Seahawks go under 7.5 wins in this one. All right, let's run to a break. When we come back, we talked about it a second ago. Hard Knocks, the in-training camp edition surrounding the Chicago Bears, started up last night. Nick Saban made an appearance, and he said something that harkened back to a segment we did yesterday on the show. I'm going to play that audio for you and show you why Nick Saban said, hey, Rob Brown knows ball, and he got it right. Paraphrasing. Do that when we come back. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. I have said a number of times that one of my biggest issues over the last couple of years is the way that we treat rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. I have said it about Trevor Lawrence. I have said it about Bryce Young. And while there are exceptions to the rule, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson being the last couple of them, I think we make a mistake with rookie quarterbacks coming into the NFL. And I'm not alone in that. Nick Saban made an appearance yesterday on episode 1 of the Chicago Bears version of HBO's Hard Knocks. He was having a conversation with Matt Eberflus, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, discussing their new rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams. And I am concerned, as Nick Saban is, that Caleb Williams might be put into, not fall into, but put into the same trap as a lot of other guys. Having that conversation here from HBO's Hard Knocks is Nick Saban talking to Matt Eberflus. Scoreboard don't mean anything until the game's over. But that's it. And I think that we do that too much. And it's not just that we do it too much. It's the position that these quarterbacks are in when we do it. I want to go back to Caitlin Clark making her way into the WNBA. The beginning of the season was an absolute struggle for Caitlin Clark. Things were not going well. Things were going poorly for Caitlin Clark, and a lot of people, I said at the time, were writing her off very early. A lot of people were saying, oh, look, yeah, you put her up against the best in the world consistently, she can't get it done. And we were going, yo, hold up, wait a minute. Can we not hold our horses just a little bit? Not just because Caitlin Clark's got to figure out the WNBA, because she did. But on top of that, she's playing for the worst team in the league. If a quarterback gets drafted early enough that the expectations are he's going to be a star at the next level, 95% of the time, it's because the team that drafted them sucks. They had a high enough draft pick to select a quarterback that they believe will be a game changer. And so when you get a squad that is that bad, when you get a squad that has draft an expectation-changing quarterback to the top, the expectations for the team shouldn't be that high, yet we loft them onto the quarterback. This is why, to the chagrin of the great one multiple times, I have said This, in my ever so humble opinion, is Bryce Young's rookie year. Why? Because in year number one, the expectations on this kid were, I honestly believe, unrealistic. I think people thought he was going to show up and just immediately make the Carolina Panthers a contender. And folks stopped looking at the fact that the rest of the team around him was hot garbage. Stopped looking at the fact that the team around him was made up of guys that couldn't do it elsewhere and Adam Thielen. Stopped looking at the fact that the head coaching position had been nothing shy of a massive dumpster fire the last couple of years consecutively. So when we do this to young quarterbacks, it infuriates me a little bit when these quarterbacks come in with these ridiculous expectations placed on them that they are going to change the fortunes by themselves of a crap football team, that they are going to overcome the shortcomings of obvious mediocre head coaches. Frank Reich last year, Matt Eberflus this year. And they are all going to do it by themselves. And while some guys can thrive, not everybody can. When I look at the Houston Texans, what advantage does CJ Stroud have over Bryce Young last year? Well, I've told you this. Coming into the year last year, the wide receiver core in Houston was better than the one in Carolina. The offensive line in Houston was better than the one in Carolina. And while he had not proven himself yet, D'Amico Ryans at least had the advantage of being a head coach that the players were all on board with. There was no secret of stories last year that Frank Reich was not a locker room uniter. He was a guy that the team was very divided on. And maybe it wasn't even Frank Reich's fault. Because remember, a lot of dudes on the team wanted Steve Wilks to get a run at the HC spot. Wanted the interim HC from the year before when Matt Rhule got canned to get his opportunity to lead that team in a battle. That didn't happen. It didn't matter who you brought in. The locker room was divided before the HC stepped into the office for the first time. D'Amico Ryans wasn't that. D'Amico was a dude that the minute he showed up in H-Town, the team, as far as I can tell, was united behind. That's not what happened in Carolina. Texter said, CJ Stroud got it done with a mediocre Texans team, though. No excuses for Bryce. Yes, there is. It, especially now. Forget at the beginning of last year. I've asked Lonzo this before, and I'm never this bold. Lonzo's wrong about this. If I offered you last year's Carolina wide receiver core or Houston Texans wide receiver core, and you say you'd take Carolina's, you flat out don't know ball.
All right, so I do believe that C.J. Stroud would have been able to win with last year's Panthers receiving core, absolutely, because he's a better quarterback than Bryce Young. And everyone going into the same year talked about Houston being the worst team in the league, don't have anything and all this, but you bring in the right guys, and I'm sure coaching has a lot to do with it, but you make the right pick at quarterback, and you see what happens.
Again, forget what we thought we knew at the beginning of the year. Get rid of what we thought we knew going into 2023. Look at what we do know now. Which team, and I'm just talking about wide receiver core, which team had a better wide receiver core? Houston. It's not a question.
Right.
It's a statement.
First of all, you can say it's a statement, but it's not.
Because it is.
It is not.
Objectively speaking.
Yelling doesn't make you right. You can keep saying it. You can keep screaming it. You can spray it a little, which you did. Doesn't mean you're right. A better quarterback is more important. And that
I didn't say it wasn't.
That receiving core in Houston looked better than the Panthers receiving core because they had a better quarterback. That's what I'm saying. You put that Panthers receiving core with CJ Stroud, he's getting the same numbers because he's a better quarterback than Bryce Young.
I am, so we're clear, because what Lonzo did right there was say that I said two things I did not say. Okay? I did not say Bryce Young's a better quarterback than CJ Stroud and have not and would not. And I did not say that, I don't even remember what the first one was that you said that I didn't say. I'm so mad about the second one. What I am
Stop
saying
letting
here,
your emotions get the better of you.
I'm not.
We've been told that you said earlier emotions shouldn't factor into this stuff.
If I offered you last year Nico Collins and Tank Dell, or I offered you Adam Thielen and who? Who?
Out of all those names, Adam Thielen is the biggest name.
Yes. A three playing a one.
Okay.
Because you didn't have a one or a two.
All right. Again, my question for you, when you say, if I give you this, I would ask you, who's the quarterback?
Joey B., who knows ball, stepping in and going mediocre. Carolina's best receiver would be wide receiver four for the Texans. Thank you.
I'm glad your boy has always got your back.
No, you see, you do this thing where you say only says that because he likes you. No. Joey B is the first guy who will look me in the face and go bleep you, Rob Brown.
Dude,
you're wrong.
Is he not one of your best friends?
He is, but that doesn't mean he won't. Okay. Because what best friends do is they go, hey, you, when you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't keep yes men around. I'm better than that. All right? I need people who will check my ego.
Well, you have to have a certain pay scale or level of celebrity to have yes men.
That's also true, but not the point. Not the point.
Well, you just implied that you are one of those, so I don't know which one.
Last year's Texans, forget what you knew at the beginning of the year and look at what we know we knew at the end of the year. What we know we know at the end of the year was that while the challenges were expected to be greater in Houston, at the end of the year, they had hit on dudes at wide receiver that Carolina did not. That's just an objective metric.
All right, and you we're going to fight on this, or you're going to fight on this, but it is about the quarterback. It's not about the receivers. I know you keep wanting to harp on this, but you said I was wrong. You're wrong. It's about the quarterback. They picked the wrong quarterback. Now, the Panthers have who they have, and they have to build around that guy, and they brought in someone who should make him better in the new coach, and hopefully he will get better. But in the end, well, I guess we'll see when their careers are over. C.J. Stroud was a better quarterback going into the draft. He's a better quarterback now, and he's going to continue to get better. And unless something drastic happens, he's always going to be better than Bryce Young. You know, that's just what you can talk about receivers and everything else. Right now, if you had to win a game, this is one of your scenarios, you going with Bryce or you going with CJ?
I'm going with CJ, but it's not that, again, never once since the end of last year.
You're gonna make yourself ill.
Because you keep putting words in my mouth that I didn't say. Not one time have I said Bryce Young's better than CJ Stroud. That's a stupid thing to say. All right. If you say that, you don't know ball. The biggest insult I can drop. You don't know ball.
All right.
Why do you make yourself the victim? Why do you make things up? I didn't say any of that.
I am the victim in this room.
What I said was, the situation Bryce Young was placed in is now, objectively and verifiably, worse than the situation CJ Stroud was placed in, yet the expectations on Bryce Young were set higher than the expectations on CJ Stroud. And the point of all of this was what Nick Saban said, and it's what I said. The victim here is the top picked quarterbacks that we place these 0-60 expectations on without the context of the team that is built around them. Houston built a better team around CJ Stroud than the Carolina Panthers did, and he succeeded with that team versus BY, who I believe failed because of his. That's my point. And also, I know ball. That's my other point. Now, I am going to calmly, carefully introduce Lonzo with the sports flash.
Yeah, you might go out in the hallway where it's cooler.
I'm going
You know, Team USA men's basketball is on to the Olympic semifinals after routing Brazil 122-87 yesterday. The Americans were led by Devin Booker's 18 points, while Anthony Edwards had 17 off the bench. LeBron added 12 on 5 of 6 from the floor with 9 assists. while Joel Embiid scored 14 with 6 rebounds. USA is now 2 wins from a 5th consecutive gold medal with 2-time NBA MVP Nikola Jokic and Serbia up next. The Atlanta Braves have begun a backslide, getting hammered by Milwaukee 10-0 at home. Bryce Elder was knocked around for 8 innings and 7 earned runs in just 3.2 innings, rather. He's really upset. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on everything in sports, Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.